Welcome to Jersey Guy Sports, your sports talk home for the Yanks, the Giants, the Rangers, and the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. I'm your host, Don. I want to thank you for listening today. Now, today I'm going to be discussing Major League Baseball's brewing pitching injury controversy. Let's go ahead and get started. So in a little turn from normal podcasts, I'm not going to talk specifically about one of my teams, although I will mention the Yankees a bit, because we're going to talk about Major League Baseball and the brewing pitching injury controversy that's occurring. Now, the Yanks cruising to a 10-2 start, all that with Gerrit Cole on the shelf with an arm injury. And I wanted to talk about what is developing really into a full-blown crisis for baseball. It's an injury epidemic among pitchers. Mostly among starting pitchers, although plenty of relievers are injured as well. But the concern is mostly among starters, and for good reason. Now, to set the stage for what we're really talking about here, I want to run through a few examples of some injuries that we're talking about. And I looked this up, and in addition to Gerrit Cole, it turns out that 8 of the top 10 starting pitchers since 2021, and that's measured by ERA. 8 of the top 10 with a minimum of 40 starts right now are currently on the injured list or doing a rehab assignment. So let that sink in. 8 of the top 10 pitchers in the last 3 years are on the injured list right now, right? And we're talking about Justin Verlander, Brian Woodruff, Clayton Kershaw. He's out for at least the first half with some kind of shoulder injury. Max Fried, Drew Rasmussen, out until late in the season. Max Scherzer, out following back surgery. Shohei Ohtani, everybody knows about that. He's got elbow surgery. Walker Buehler is on some kind of Tommy John rehab assignment. Corbin Burns, we know, is just getting back now. Shane McClanahan, out for the season with elbow injury. And we could go on and on. But those are 8 of the top 10 starting pitchers, right? Burns is healthy and Fried is healthy, but the other ones are out. They are not pitching, right? 8 of the top 10 ERA pitchers are on the IL or doing a rehab right now. And that's just scratches the surface. That's barely even part of it. These are the best of the best that I just mentioned, and maybe not even. There's others that are even better. But when you measure it by ERA, those are the top 10, right? They're almost all out of commission. And if you expand the scope, the trend continues to hold. In that same article, it said that 20 of the top 35 pitchers with the lowest ERA are sidelined. So it's not just 8 of the top 10, 20 of the top 35. And there's plenty of others, right? It's not just top best pitchers, not just the great pitchers, but also the good pitchers and even the average pitchers and maybe the shitty ones too. It really affects everyone. And if you look locally, right, say we just look at the issue for the Yankees, right? We know many of them recently, right, over the last couple of years of this year. We know Cole's out, right? Loaisiga is out for the season and maybe done with his career with the Yanks. We know that, right? Lewis Heel, right, who's our pitcher now, he was out. He missed all of last year and part of the year before. Tommy Kahnle was hurt last year. He's still hurt this year. We know Rodon, right? Missed the first half of last year. And by the way, he sucked balls when he got back, right? Severino, for us, was out forever, right? He's on the Mets now, but he was hurt half of his career with us with various arm injuries. The reliever, Lou Trevino, we have now, is on the IL with injuries. Frankie Montas, right? He basically didn't pitch his entire Yankee career because he was on the IL because of an arm injury. Scott Efros is out for the Yanks now. He's had various injuries. Right now, he's got a back injury. And we've had others, right? Last year, Abreu, Middleton, all kinds of other pitchers were on the IL at various times for arm issues. So that's just the Yankees, right? Those are just some examples of injuries to pitchers, and that's just the Yankees. And you could picture other teams going through the same thing, right? Keep in mind, there's many more people throughout the league that are being affected by arm injuries, right? Many more pitchers. And today I also want to focus more even on starting pitchers. But just keep in mind, the scope is large. There are a lot. There's a lot of injuries. So this is not just some contrived controversy. This is a very real issue in Major League Baseball that is affecting every team to varying degrees, obviously. So now everyone, at least recently, is trying to dig into why this is happening now more than ever. right? Now, data shows, you know, that pitchers' arm injuries have increased year over year over year for about a decade now. So it's not lying. Like, this has gone up for a long time. And it's a long trend that happens to coincide with somewhat of a change in pitching philosophy from teams. Namely, throw as hard as you can for as long as you can, right? Rip and grip it, as they're saying on the Yes Network. But basically, it's throw as hard as you can for as long as you can, right? And this is the new pitching philosophy where we don't care how long our starters go. You know, you pitch four innings and, you know, you do great. And then we'll put a parade of friggin' relievers in, you know, all trying to throw as hard as they can for as long as they can, right? Now, that's the philosophy. And since that's been implemented about a decade ago, every single year, these arm injuries have increased. Now, Major League Baseball seems to recognize this and is doing some studies. They have an independent study, and they've also obtained a separate study from theirs, from John Hopkins, you know, trying to show the cause of these injuries. Now, the controversy is being fueled, you know, and gaslit by the MLB Players Association union. Ugh, me and unions, let me tell you. The union is blaming the rash of injuries on the pitch clock, if you can believe it, which is just a bunch of malarkey. I mean, you've got to be kidding me. Now, the pitch clock, as any true baseball fan knows, has been a godsend for baseball. It is about the best thing to happen to Major League Baseball, as far as I can remember back in general, right? It is universally liked by fans everywhere. I don't know any fan that doesn't like the pitch clock. And I can't say that about any rule, anywhere, in any sport. It is absolutely the best thing that happened. Because as you know, Major League Baseball games have been getting longer and longer and slower and more boring for the last 20 to 30 years. And pitchers would take forever to throw the ball. Batters would step out, you know, the whole Mike Hargrove thing. But, you know, every batter would step out and check their gloves. And it took forever, and it was slow, and it was boring, and baseball lost fans year after year after year because it was so boring. Watching a 3-hour and 30-minute baseball game is nobody's idea of fun. And that goes for whether you're at the ballpark or whether you're a fan watching the game on TV. Watching the games nowadays, where they average 2 hours and 30 minutes, 2 hours and 34 minutes, it is so much better. It's so much better. 2.5 hours is so much better than 3 hours and 15 minutes. It is. For every reason, I can name 100 reasons. It's so much better. It makes the game more exciting. During the game, things are moving. It's exciting. It's better. And it has not hurt pitchers' arms at all. Because using the pitch clock as an excuse is ridiculous, because pitchers in the 70s, 80s, and even 90s pitched very quickly. Go back and just Google it. Go on YouTube and watch any particular game from the 70s, say, or 80s. Watch the pitchers and how quickly they pitch. Watch the batters and how they're standing in the box, right? You're not stepping out every goddamn pitch like you used to before the pitch clock, right? It was quick, and they pitched even quicker than they're pitching today, right? So they had nowhere near the injuries for pitchers that we have today, pitching even more quickly than we are today. So the pitch clock has very, very, very little to do with this all. I'm not saying it has nothing to do with it, but the pitch clock is not the problem. The chase for velocity in pitchers, and particularly starting pitchers, is the real problem that exists today. And in my mind, it's the real cause for these arm injuries. Particularly starters who have to pitch many innings, right? Relievers who have to throw hard for an inning, you know, you throw hard for an inning and then you rest for a day or two and then you throw another hard for an inning. I mean, it's not great, but it's certainly not the same as a starter. Now, pitchers work out in the offseason nowadays. It's not just during the season, right? And they're searching with all their analytics and, you know, David Cohn's wonderful. Oh, we can measure this and we can measure that and we can measure this. And he's so happy about it. Right. And because pitchers now have all this data accessible to them, they work to just get an extra mile an hour or two, an extra spin rate on the breaking ball, better movement on the breaking balls. In itself, that's not necessarily bad. But, you know, trying to make a new pitch, make a change, and then, you know, after you've been pitching for 15 years of your life, maybe you're in your mid-20s, you know, and then all of a sudden go out there and use it every day, you know, as hard as you can, throwing as hard as you can, getting as much spin rate in as you can all the time, is leading to injuries. And that's what's happening. Starting, you know, teams basically just want starters to throw as hard as they can for as long as they can, and then in comes a parade of relievers. We all know it. We've all seen it, right? They're looking for, you know, extra spin rate, better movement on their breaking balls, and just throw as hard as you possibly can. Starting pitchers, their wins, getting a win as a starting pitcher, it's discounted nowadays, and that's a problem. And it's a tragedy in many ways for baseball. And it's now had the side effect of also contributing to injured arms, and I'm going to talk about why. Because starters don't often go, say, more than, I don't know, 5 or 6 innings nowadays, if that sometimes. They go 100% all the time, meaning what we just talked about. As hard as you can friggin' throw the ball, as much spin as you can, all the time, every pitch for 4 innings or 5 innings. Oh, maybe 6 innings. Oh, I had a great start with 6 innings. I mean, give me a break. I want to puke when I hear people say that. I mean, it's quite possible, believe it or not, to get hitters out if you're only throwing it 80%. Or 90, or even maybe 70%, you know, 70% of your speed, 70% of your break, it's quite possible to get hitters out. You know, in case no one noticed, the best hitters in the history of the game fail about 70% of the time. If you're a career 300 hitter, you might be a Hall of Famer, right? If you bat 300 over your major league career, you are a fucking Hall of Fame hitter. The best hitters in the game, they fail 7 out of 10 times, right? You're still making it out 7 times out of every 10. So, you know, this quest for velocity, this quest for 100% on every pitch, this is all to say that pitchers can get hitters out in many ways other than pure velocity. And they have been doing so, by the way, for what's going on 100 years now, you know, prior to this last decade of this new ridiculous, you know, kind of philosophy. Now, generally, the only way to last longer in a game is not to go max effort on every pitch. So if you want starting pitchers in there longer and you want to save their arms, don't have them go max effort on every pitch, right? And that's what we, I think, want. And that's what I think most people agree will fix this rash of injuries and also make the game better. Quite honestly, no one wants to see 6 pitchers in a game every game. I'm telling you, no matter what kind of happy horseshit, you know, any teams or anyone else to feed you, what fans want to see is their starters going long and maybe a reliever or two if necessary. Nobody wants to see their starter going 4 or 5 innings and then 6 friggin' relievers coming in. No one wants it, right? So teams need to value starting pitcher longevity over velocity, right? They need to do that. And it's hard to put the genie back in the bottle now, but there are ways to sort of encourage that. And interestingly, Joel Sherman of the New York Post, he posted an excellent article on, I guess, the New York Post site, right, dealing and detailing a lot of what I'm talking about now. And there's one particular point that he makes in an article, which is, in my mind, 100% spot on, and I wanted to mention it here, and that is that this critical thing. For baseball to change, it needs incentives, meaning that there needs to be a reward or a penalty to change behavior in baseball, right? Joel suggested in the article that baseball could possibly, you know, to incentivize teams to keep starters in the game more, possibly they could choose to have the DH be lost to that team as soon as their starter is removed. So Cole's pitching. When you remove him, put a reliever in, that DH is out of the game and the pitcher spot has to bat in that spot now, right? Now, that sounds awesome to me personally. That's an interesting, newfangled thing that I kind of like. He also suggested that, you know, lessening the number of pitchers allowed on an active roster, which I am so in favor of, I can't even tell you. I friggin' hate that there's only 4 bench players right now. I hate it. You know, when you want to pinch hit late, I can't stand all the number of pitchers that are in the bullpen. The thought is that if teams have fewer relievers to use, then the value of the starter going longer, you know, will rise. And it makes sense. So if you guys have a chance, take a look at Joel Sherman's article in the New York Post, probably today. At least it's on the website today. And it details a lot of what I'm saying here. And he has some good points in there. And it's important to note that, you know, my key takeaway from what he was saying is that for anything to change in baseball, there has to be an incentive that is motivated by, you know, basically a punishment or a reward, right? Otherwise, who's going to change anything? No one is, right? So it's important to realize that pitcher's health is a big deal. You know, something has to change here, right? Something has to change. It's not going to be the pitch clock. It's just not going to happen. It's too successful. Everyone loves it. MLBPA is talking out of their asshole. It's not the problem, and it's not going to change. So something does have to change. And there has to be buy-in, both from Major League Baseball players and from the players themselves. And you would think that the starting pitchers, especially, would have a vested interest in fixing this, right? And that they would lend support to any initiatives that are aimed at reducing pitchers' injuries, you'd think. But, you know, I wouldn't necessarily count on it because, you know, everything's a PR game now, right, with unions. If you know unions, that's how it is. And if the union is spouting these pitch clock conspiracies, blah, 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 it's harder for pitchers to then focus on and sometimes recommend changes to what is actually the real cause of their injuries, and that's the team's singular focus on velocity and spin rate, right? So it's important that the people being affected by this the most, the damn starting pitchers, get behind actual initiatives that will reduce their injuries, which is not having them go 100% all the time and, you know, voting for incentives or rule changes that would incentivize that, such as losing the DH or having less relievers, you know, on less total pitchers on the roster. That helps starting pitchers. It does. Whether or not it would ever get adopted is anyone's guess, but the critical piece is that the people that are getting hurt by this need to wake up and be involved in things that will try to help with the solution and not, you know, talk about pitch clocks because that's just such happy horseshit. It's an important issue. It's only going to get worse before it gets better. Valuing starting pitching starts with incentivizing starters and keeping starters in the games. And there are ways to do it, and we'll have to see, though, if any of this takes. And that's it. That's all I wanted to talk to you about today, guys. One single little blurb today, and it's about the Major League Baseball's pitching crisis. So thank you for listening to Jersey Guy Sports. Please subscribe to the podcast. Tell your friends all about it, and I'll be back soon with some more sports talk. Thanks, and have a good day.